Thank you.
We have another great speaker, and I love him. His name is Frank.
This is my horse, Thunder. Stay away from his heels, he kicks. My name's Frank. I'm an alcoholic. First thing about the 12th step is I do it. I do it. I do it regularly. I'm going to talk first about a 12-step call. This is how I do it. I pray before I start. Get as close to in line with God as possible at that time. Real awareness that I'm dealing with another man's life. And if he's an alcoholic, I'm on a life and death errand. Then with that awareness, incidentally, if there's anything I say that you cannot reconcile with the big book and the chapter working with others, I'm wrong. Okay. I ask him, are you having a problem with your drinking? If I get such answers of, would I have called you if I didn't, or something, I say, fine, if you ever do, and then I leave. The next question is, do you want to do something about it? And the surprising thing is, almost never do they lie right here. And if they don't, I leave. If they want to ride to a detox center, I leave. I'm not a taxi cab. If they want $5 for a bottle of whiskey, I'll give it to them. I can't turn them down for a drink. Guy needs a drink. There's a hell of a lot of difference between needing a drink and wanting a drink. But I won't 12-step him. Assuming the answers those questions, I go forward and talk to him long enough until I'm satisfied whether or not he's alky. And if I'm not satisfied, I leave. Because I talk alcoholic. I talk whiskey. And if I don't understand him, I'll turn him over to somebody else that maybe talks his language. But unless I'm satisfied he's an alcoholic, because Alcoholics Anonymous is for alcoholics, period. If you got a dual problem, you don't have a first step. A friend of mine invented that one. I like it. Then, depending on his condition, sometimes the first time, most of the time the second time, I outline, and I take 20 minutes, and I go through the 12 steps, and outline what it is, and I make no bones about how difficult it is, to make these decisions, that there is a God, there's a decision that you're going to be relevant to you, make a decision to look at your life and find your hopeless position, to make a decision to sit down and write a moral inventory, to make a decision to tell it to some weird son of a gun, and to make a decision to sit and stand and face God with the knowledge and the awareness of your imperfect self and ask for removal of your defects, and then to make a list of all the persons that you had screwed over, lied to, stolen from, defrauded, bullied, cheated, and so forth, and then go face each and every one of them. And I don't solve that because you're conning them if you do anything else. They have a right to know what they're getting into. Then beginning the very strict disciplines of the 10th and the 11th and the 12th step, I outline this to them, then I loan them a big book. I never give them the big book. I loan them with my return address in it. So sometimes when they come back to give it back, you get another shot at them. I do other things. I stole one guy's lighter. And then he had to come back to get his lighter back and pitched him again. He's sober now. I've been sober a lot of years. this isn't a clean-cut game. Fellow that's going to talk here tonight, wet York Street. I went in there and said, I never saw an Indian ever get sober in this goddamn program. And that's how I hooked him. So the game is not as obvious as it seems. Then he comes back and he says, this is what he wants to do. I take his word for it. Because that agreement, remember they say, remember in the beginning we agreed that we'd go to any lengths over victory over alcohol. That's the key to success on the program. I call it the step before the steps. Incidentally, it's a step I take each time I go through the steps. And I go forward from there. The art of it is responsibility. I am not responsible for his recovery. A lot of the great mistakes in AA are made in rescue. They're going to rescue the drunk. We're going to solve the social problem of drinking, etc., etc., etc. And that isn't true. That is not our purpose. Our purpose is to share our strength, our hope, and our experiences. And they're responsible for their recovery. I am responsible for the life I'm in. The life I'm in today, including old Thunder here, is of my own making, and for that I am responsible. And I know exactly how I got here. And it wasn't because Thunder kicked me either. Responsibility, working with people, you must keep the ball in their park, because you're talking with a member of a group of the most manipulative people that lie on the face of this earth. And somebody is going to run this, and you're the one that knows how to stay sober, and he doesn't. And you respond appropriately. Now, I'm mentioning the first part, practice these principles. I'm going to show you some of the things that I do specifically to practice certain principles. Mark talked about some of the things, about practicing meditation, about going into other disciplines, learn other means and modes of meditation. And he said a very important thing, and I'm going to repeat it, is what do whatever you want. The book says, see where religious people are right. And there's a variety of magnificent, powerful religions on the face of this earth. But keep them within AA. Don't do them instead of AA. Because as Mark has, so have I, have watched more good people pray their way into whiskey than you can believe. Because they kept it isolated from AA. If you're going to church, keep it in AA. Make it part of your program. But if you have church here and AA here, unless you're sobered up in church and church is keeping you sober, you better keep it within AA. Take pausing. Pausing is my great thing. It evolved from, how am I doing on time? It evolved from, I was speaking in Texas, and there was an old cop down there with me, and I'm doing a convention, I call it the conventional circle, you know, they spiral around these places till you walk yourself sick. And he says, come here, come here. He says, sit down here. Sit down, he's a big cop. He says, sit down here. He says, now don't leave here until you know the next place you're going. And don't leave there until you know the next place you're going. And don't leave there, and then don't do this until you know, you get the feel for it. That was my first lesson in pausing, although I didn't know it then. But it was one of the most powerful gifts that were given to me. Pausing, incidentally, has nothing to do with the ego. They introduced two new words, hurried or agitated. These are not ego terms. If you don't pause, you can get led into your ego. But they're not about the ego. And to practice pausing, I'll take a day or longer, depending how bad I am. And from between every task that I do, if I'm at the computer, and before I leave it here and pause, I use my breath to shift with. And I set up that practice until pausing becomes, until I become more alert. More alert. Incidentally, that also sensitized me more to the work on the 10th step. On the 10th step, there's an article by, an article, those paragraphs Emmett Fox has in Power Through Constructive Thinking. And it's called The Golden Key and then the 7-Day Mental Diet. I use it specifically. See, the 10th step is not about the ego or correcting mistakes. The 10th step's about God's will and oneness with God. If you take the 10th step, I've got to get out of ego. You're worshiping ego. You understand that? Oh, I'm mad. I've got to get out of anger. So you're taking anger to God and you're giving it power. So you leave anger here and turn to pure God thought. God is all. God protective. God forgives. You don't take your anger into there. I very rarely call somebody when I'm 10 stepping. Why? Because it processes it. If I'm really hung, I'll call somebody. I think the time for evaluation is in my evening review in the 11th step. That's another practice that I use. I'll take loving kindness. Mark Houston sent a guy, we were down in Indiana talking, and he sent a guy up who talked before I did. And he said, Mark Houston told me about Frank McKibben. He says, you'll really like Frank McKibben if you can get past his personality. I thought he was going to stay here longer. I was going to feed that back to him with a long-handled spoon. Anyway, I tend to be direct and abrupt, and I practice loving kindness. How do you do that? One of the prime ways that I find for myself is simple courteousness. To listen, to say please, to say thank you, to open the door for me, take your hat off, so forth. Old-fashioned courtesy. After you, sir. What can I do for you? I slipped a gear here. Another practice that I make, particularly in my home group, is I see everyone as they come in or as they sit there. I make contact with them. And I practice this. And I practice it here, to see as many people as I can. I don't mean judge. I don't mean anything else. I mean to make contact with them and let it work on me. See, what the hell do I know to tell you here today? What is it going to? I can talk here on this subject for 4 or 5 hours easily. I've done that. What in this short period of time do I need to tell you, whom I don't know your history, how do I respond to you unless I make some connections with you? Okay. And with God and with you. Pray before I start and then get the feel for you. Now I practice that because I can become desensitized. And then that happens. That's an outline of what I do in respect to the topic.